I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi, it's Malls. Reminder before the show to make sure that you are subscribed in Apple Podcasts. And if you're new, welcome to Please Advise Nation. Our show only works with your participation, so call 323-450-7408 with your dilemmas and life questions. Again, that's 323-450-7408, or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thank you and enjoy. Hey, Please Advise Nation, it's Moz. It's episode 179 of Please Advise. Welcome to the show. We have a guest on today that we all met, I guess, together, right, Christina?
Yes.
We met at the HMS Bounty years ago. You came over once to my house for like a little rooftop thing, but you guys have become friends on your own.
Sort of. Like, we have muchies.
Yeah,
we have
yeah.
a mutual.
Definitely.
And so, like, years after we had that first meeting, I went to a drag race screening at a gay bar downtown, and like all my little public radio friends were there. And then one of them came with Marcos.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what kind of small world is this? Like, we actually already know each other. Like, it was just kind of like a nice little moment.
There's a
like,
good chance if you go to a gay bar in Los Angeles, you will probably find me there.
So. Okay, so yeah. Marcos Luevanos, is that how you say your last name?
Yes, exactly.
Is that the whitest way anyone's ever said your name?
No, it's
no,
perfect.
I'm sure you had substitute teachers who really hacked that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you write
Great
for
job,
Charmed
boss.
Now, the new, thank you. You write for Charmed Now, the new Charmed.
Yes. Yeah. The reboot.
And Christina's
the
a big
show.
Fan.
I love it. It's cause mostly because the sisters are Puerto Rican.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm like down for my Boricua sisters.
I didn't realize that they had like changed that up. And I think that's so great.
Yeah.
I might actually like, I didn't connect with the first one so much. I watched the first season and a half or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was iconic actresses. It was very, I think I don't like magic. That's me.
Okay.
I didn't, because practical magic, a lot of people consider that a staple.
Yes.
And that was, I think, one of the only movies I've ever left the theater.
I wow. didn't connect. Wow. Yeah, that and What Dreams May Come, the Robin Williams movie.
That movie I had a hard time with, too.
Because I thought I was there to see a nice little Robin Williams movie, because he was having a sweet run during that time. Yeah. There was Patch Adams, Good Will Hunting.
Those movies have dark elements to them, too.
Sure, yeah. But when his wife's face became clay and in the floor, which was, I didn't know there was going to be a fantastical element to it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, this is suburban Massachusetts. I went and sat my ass outside in the cold while my friends finished the movie.
That
and
movie
I
was like, does have like elements of magical realism to it that I was
I don't
like,
need
I don't
that
think
in my life.
American audiences were prepared for.
But I like the idea of this show.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned practical magic because I was reading an article about that recently. Mm-hmm. And apparently they had a witch consultant for the movie. And things did not go well, apparently, midway through the movie.
Oh.
And the witch apparently cursed the movie.
Ooh!
Like...
Yeah,
that,
I felt
that movie actually has like a really storied, troubled production. So,
really?
Yeah, yeah. Like that is not the, like they found that movie in editing.
Okay.
Yeah. So that might have been what you were picking up on.
Right.
Early storyteller malls.
Yeah, I guess so. Jesus Christ, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I guess you don't bring in a witch expert, but.
Yeah. If you do, you don't fuck with them.
Right. Well, because I was just going to say, it would become very easy to offend, I think, a real witch.
Yeah.
I think it would become very easy to offend
one. It's like, okay, so where do we put the broom that you write it on?
Well,
part of the reason that I got hired on Charmed was because I practice a little bit of witchcraft.
Oh, you're a bruja?
I'm Bruex, actually, technically.
I was going to say, you wouldn't do a sacrifice.
No.
Okay.
I definitely like have limits to what I do. I don't do, you know, sacrifices. I don't do cursing.
Because Azealia Banks is up there in the closet. Okay.
Right. I don't do like any type of cursing. I don't do any type of like, you know, anything that's like, anything that's like dark or anything. You know, it's all like, you know, the way I describe it is like, I'm not any more of a witch than anyone else in LA, where it's like crystals and like sage. And intentions and, you know, little incantations and things like that, moon ceremonies, you know, stuff like that. So I practice.
How did
all that
you learn
too.
About it?
I just learned about it about 10 years ago when I was working for Kevin Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
He did a witch pilot for the CW called The Secret Circle.
Okay.
And that was supposed to be not an exact spinoff of Vampire Diaries, but it was supposed to be like a companion show about a group of, you know, teen witches. And so when I was working on that show, I had to do a lot of witch research.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing it, I got really interested in it just because it's about nature and about intention and energy and like focus and where you put your time and all of that.
It also has like different connotations in Spanish culture too.
Sure.
Yeah. It's just different. It's like a part alongside of spirituality.
Right. Like my family, like growing up, like we all went to curanderas, which are like these, you know, Latin healers and, you know, in the community and, you know, for any time.
That sounds way more up my alley than
cleansing?
A doctor.
Right.
I hate the doctor.
Yeah.
I would love to go to
cleansing.
Yes.
And like, I would like to
leave
do that.
A bag of, you know,
you like boil your socks in, you know, tomato juice and, you know, all this other shit, and then you wear the socks to bed. And
I would rather do that. I would either go to
exactly. It's all
that or
stuff.
Go to like a super church where like one of the pastors brings me back to life on stage. I would do that too. But this sounds a little bit more like, you know, once you're putting tomato socks on, that sounds like there's some science behind it.
Right.
You know
exactly.
what I mean?
The lycopene and such.
Yeah,
know,
it sounds much better than a Kenoki magic foot pad, which I really wish worked. Like, I wish more than anything that those really worked.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, they're like a scam. Like, they're...
it's like, supposedly you leave it on your foot and it drains like,
actually,
the toxins
I'll
from
give
your
you
body.
Some. I got
I
some
love
extra... I got some, like... Which I was like, oh, these are on market, like Japanese ones when I went to Japan. So I still haven't tried them, but they are a scam. And what they do basically is like they used to run infomercials for them, which is how I first found out about them. And I was like, oh, my back hurts all the time. I'll go get these Kenoki magic foot pads. And of course, the first thing you Google when it comes up literally is like the Kenoki magic foot pad scam, like before even the company comes up. And so basically what you do is you put them on your feet at night and then you put like socks on or you don't. I put socks on because I'm like, I got to keep them on there.
Right.
I move around a lot.
Yeah.
So then you sleep and then in the morning you take them off and like they're black. They go from white to black.
Oh.
So you're like, but it's actually something like the sweat on your feet activate some sort of vinegar
like
or something.
Because it hits oxygen, it's going to oxygenize the chemicals that'll make it appear that it's like removing toxins.
Oh, right. But I would love to think it works. Yeah. I'll give you some. Yeah, but okay. Tomato socks sound better than that. They do. Yeah. So this
it's
is great.
Something that I'm like kind of interested in getting back into just because it has so much cultural heritage for like me. And I've been in a kick lately where I've been like trying to like, I'm settling who I am as a person now. Yeah. And I realize how much larger a part of that my cultural heritage is. And I'm like, I know a lot about my history, but I need to actually do the work. And like, what does it mean to be Puerto Rican?
Totally. I've been going through a similar thing over the past few years where like, I've been wanting to know how to like cook the things that my grandmother made.
Yes. Yes.
And so I'll talk to her, but I didn't realize like when in asking her about recipes, it's like a lot of it is from a can. And I'm like, wait, what the hell? And she's like, oh yeah, I didn't never had time.
That's family cooking. Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, so I've been learning how to make everything from scratch based on like the things that she made from a can. And it's really interesting, like making that for her and sharing it for her with her, where it's like, oh, she's like amazed that I'm able to do this. But I'm like, oh, it's a weird sort of like circular
thing. My grandmother did the same thing where she was, my family always actually joked about it because it was like Nana was never going to serve us something just straight out of a can. So like to the point where it was like, there's nothing wrong with like the Campbell's chicken noodle soup recipe. Like they don't need your magic touch.
Yeah.
But she would always do shit. Like if she gave you SpaghettiOs, she was going to chop up hot dogs and like put them right in there. And it was like how to make, like, I think that that's like, there was an era where it's just like, it's not okay to just simply do a can, but we don't have time for more than that. My grandmother had six kids. You know what I mean?
It's like, who's that Food Network chef that was like, it's married to like Andrew Cuomo or
Sandra
like,
Lee, right?
Sandra Lee, where it's like semi-homemade.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And people shit on her for that. And also Rachel Ray.
Her life story is actually kind of amazing. Like, the whole reason why she has, like, this arsenal of semi-homemade stuff is because when she was really young, I guess her parents, she had, like, a bad parent situation. And
she was neglected.
She had to raise her siblings.
Yeah.
And, like, the way she did it was doing these semi-homemade meals. And then she managed to turn that life story into,
so what,
like,
is she
empire.
Doing? Is she, like, dumping SpaghettiOs on penne?
Something
like
that.
Like that,
where it's like some half of it, you're already halfway there with the ingredients that you buy, and she just like takes you the rest of the way.
Yeah. I think that's great. I mean, I think that that's how, I think also like a lot of Americans eat really shitty because they approach home cooking like it's got to be gourmet or that it's got to, you know,
everything has to be from scratch. Right. And it's like, you can still buy things that are kind of a little bit processed or at least like it low impact, and it still tastes good and is good for you.
And we've also been, I think, guilted a lot into veering away from foods that are absolutely okay and traditional. Like, I saw myself the other day, like, I was about to pay like $8 more for chicken breasts because I was like free range organic, like, and that is what you should eat. But like, if I'm making like a chicken parm or something, no, it can be fucking whatever. Like, as long as it's like, I do obviously do somewhere in between, but like, I feel like my brain has been warped to think that everything needs to be very high quality, only the highest quality for this temple, that I also smoke cigarettes like all the time. So, but it's very, very expensive to like cook a meal from scratch. Like, I made a cake a few weeks ago, and like the ingredients for like, it was like a $60 cake because I had to go out and buy all the flour, all the other shit. So it can be very expensive, I think, to do home cooking. And I think that that's like great that there's a show like that, because I don't watch those shows because I find them to be frustrating and unrelatable. Like, because I can't eat it. So it's like, I'm never satisfied. And that's the type of show where I'd be like, yeah, okay, I could throw a couple cans together in my kitchen. And also that,
and make a casserole. Like, things like that. Yeah.
I like order Postmates sometimes because I don't want to, like, I'm like, well, if I chop up these green beans, I won't have a proper meat to go with them. And like, realistically, when I lived in like Koreatown, I ate English muffins every day, three times a day, and I would change up what I put on that English muffin, and I would like slice the tomato and put blue cheese on it for lunch, or like peanut butter in the morning. And I made like 50 different English muffins because that's all I could eat. And so I forget that. I forget because I guess I'm a grown up and I like to cook for myself now, but not every meal you have to go all out.
No. It sounds like you need to write an English muffin cookbook.
Oh, there we go.
There's your empire.
That's the Sonia Morgan toaster oven cookbook. that exactly. I can pick up where Sonia left off. Do you watch those shows?
Of course I do.
Are do you Vanderpump?
I of course I Vanderpump. I was actually going to comment that your fridge is very Yolanda Foster season.
Oh my
one.
God, it's so funny because it's actually just like a commercial fridge. But I like whenever people say that, I'm like, yes, I'm very fancy. How heartbreaking was it though when she and David sold that house and they found out that the eggplants at the top were fake?
It was heartbreaking.
Yeah, because I was like, because for a while I'm like, who needs six eggplants? Only the very wealthy, like only Malibu.
I like to think that she had like a very lovely like goodbye ceremony with all of her lemon trees, you know, saying goodbye to all of the bountiful lemons.
I would hundreds of bushels would be leaving that day because she had 9 lemon trees. Do you have any idea what 9 lemon trees produces?
That's wild.
My friend Todd that I wrote a pilot with a few years ago, he had an orange tree. Dude, we were eating like 12 oranges a day. I was sick constantly because I was eating so much vitamin C. It was amazing. And he had made gallons and gallons of fresh OJ. My citrus in front hasn't grown at all. Have you noticed that those two trees have not grown one inch?
No, I haven't noticed.
Yeah, they've been there. I mean, I know it takes a very long time, but this is like, it's been too long.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years.
We gotta fertilize that.
We gotta fertilize that. Because if we could get the feeling, do you like apple picking?
I've not done it. I've never done it.
That's fucked up. Where are you from?
I'm from here. I'm from LA. I'm from the San Gabriel Valley.
Do you ever buy magazines like that?
Oh, of course, all the time. Like it's only like an airport thing that when I usually do it.
Or sometimes if I went to Target for the first time in 3 years. So I don't know if I spent $300 or saved $28,000, but I will tell you that Target is a great store.
It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. See, I just want the audience to know. If you guys out there in America don't know about Target, let me let you in on my little secret.
A little store called Target.
I have this place I go from time to time, Target. No, and actually, guess what else this big girl is about to do? I have a shirt to return.
Oh.
I'm about to go fucking return something at the store.
Okay.
Now, for those of you who don't know me, that's a big deal because normally I just put it in my closet and then I die under it.
Yep, I do the same thing. I've returned like maybe one thing at two more.
Oh, I don't try on and I don't return. It's double jeopardy. Like it's dead. The second that
even like online orders, you don't return.
Double jeopardy is not right. Double damage would be right. Double jeopardy would be like if I murdered the shirt and then they tried to retry me for it. Okay. Sorry, what were you saying?
I don't remember.
It's hard to move past that. Okay, so we were talking
about... Oh, I said online orders you don't do returns for either?
No, and that's how I'm getting rich now is for all the people in America that do returns. That's how I'm stocking my store. God bless America, by the way. I'm America's store. I really am because I have so much stuff that no one in LA would ever normally have. And it's so great.
What is it going to be called? Or what do you
So people call it Malshals, but that's like that's a mouthful. So my email is just shopslendermommy@gmail.com because I saw Slenderman, one thing about Slenderman once, and I've just never let go of it. So it's really good. I've had like, this got cut out of our last episode, so I can say it again.
Yeah.
So I've had like probably 12 appointments so far. I'll just be transparent. I think I've pulled like $600.
Okay.
Not bad.
Yeah.
My mom told me that you have to do, but that's not counting the Crossroads money from dropping stuff off at Crossroads, which I have to go get my shit today. Don't let me forget that.
Okay.
After this, I have to go get my check and my shit. And if you want to sell at Crossroads in LA, the Sunset location in Silver Lake, they take 48 hours now to go through your stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's the one to sell at because they have a lot of volume.
Move that product.
Yeah. But I have some big boys. I have like 4XLs, you know? So, and that's not going to move. But if it's Levi's.
It's for the men that don't miss no meals.
No meals. Someone said that about Wags. Someone's told me that Wags doesn't miss any meals.
How dare they?
And, you know, Wags does have a big booty.
He looks adorable.
He always has. But he's very, I think he's athletic. Yeah. I've always thought of him as like winning.
He's curled up into a little ball.
That
right
NBA
now.
Slam dunk competition that I'd do anything to go to, by the way. If anyone's dad runs that and you listen to this, please let me go to the slam dunk contest.
It's not what it used to be.
I don't care. Like, okay. I mean, I'm never going to, yeah, no, we're never going to see a rim get smashed.
No.
Do you remember that when someone would break the glass?
It'd be crazy. No, it's more like a lot of the bigger players don't do it.
Yeah.
They're like worried about getting injured for doing that, like by doing that dumb, like.
But that's what I like. I like the spry ones. Yeah. I like the ones that have something to prove. That's who's really going to fuck some shit up.
They're jumping over a power wheels, their friend in a power wheels truck and dunking on it.
I like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I mean, we know that we know LeBron could win that.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. So anyway, moving on. What do you think about Vanderpump this season?
There's only been one episode, I think, right? But I'm...
It's two.
Oh, it's been two. Okay. Yeah. I don't think I've seen the second one yet. Oh, no, I did. I love that group.
Hate the sitcom bit.
I was going to say the editors seem to be taking a lot of liberties this season with all of that. I was not into that, but...
When I heard a little bit of rumbling about them potentially breaking the third wall, fourth wall, I really thought it was going to be like the way they did it on Teen Mom, where they see them, like where we see the producers sort of gathering them for the day and like them downloading the producers on the real tea and like them... figuring out how to play out the day in the storyline. But no, they're just doing these like hacky bits where like this week they were like, we're pulling up to Pride today. Like it's an 80s sitcom. And like, they're like, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so are the buddies. And like this part, and they were introducing everyone like almost like the Too Many Cooks. Like sort of felt like a very like, okay, very corny. And last season they did a thing where Jax and James went to an absinthe bar.
Oh yeah.
And they were doing all these like special effects to like, so the audience would like experience the hallucinogens.
So the audience were stripping too.
But it just was so, it's a bit and I don't like it.
It's too manufactured. I like it to feel natural, even though it's obviously fake.
I like to see these people fall up.
The one thing I did like when Jax and Brittany were coming into the apartment and they did a freeze moment and Stassi explained everything she had to do to get the party together.
Yes.
I did like that. I did like that moment, but everything else, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, so. I didn't mind that because we are getting to a point where like, we know, we know. And I loved Kristen. Just for like bulldozing past Stassi when Stassi's trying to tell like over and over again, she's like, it's happening. Kristen's like, I know, I think it is. And she's like, no, Kristen, it's literally happening. She's like, that's what I'm saying because of all the Instagram stuff. And she's like, no, literally, he told me. It took her minutes. And I've never seen, that's when I was like, oh, she's on a good, like the Adderall might be back this season because Kristen was not in the house. She was somewhere else. I loved it. But yeah, I think that we're in for a good season. Clashist is actually back. I don't know if you remember Clashist. Like they used to make a bunch of pop culture t-shirts, but they sent me some Vanderpump shirts and I'm kind of fat right now. So I don't fit into, two of them. So if you want to see, one might be a woman's, but who cares?
I'm fine with that.
And I don't know, but if you want it, it's yours.
We'll take a look. Okay.
Okay.
We'll
maybe you could put the tiny one on your dog.
We'll see. Maybe.
Or an inappropriate child. You shouldn't put your kid in a Vanderpump shirt.
I do love that. I heard a rumor that this is Lisa's last season on Beverly Hills, which is great because I feel like the more she's in the Vanderpump Rules Sir group, the more, because she is like a fun little shit stirrer as well, which I enjoy.
Yeah, she's like, and you know, it is a little like Lisa can be a little bit silly on Vanderpump too because it's like she acts like she's in charge of these people's lives as opposed to them. Their job at the restaurant.
Right.
Like, it's not her job to, like, inspect Stassi's new boyfriend and, like, flip him over. Like, it's not her job to do that.
No.
But she really involves herself. And personally, like, I have just been so done with Lisa on Real Housewives for years.
Yeah.
I really felt that Brandy, the way that she took down Brandy was really just play-by-play, just very classic manipulator, narcissistic. Attention, like just it, the way that she has put things onto other people for years and then used it against them really makes my blood boil. Yeah. Like that to me is the worst quality of a person is someone who flips like that.
Yeah. She also seems just very bored in those group scenes and I need more energy. More excitement.
And like, you know, I just felt like that whole, like I really like any like fun or joy I had left in watching her was gone with the whole Erica Jane Pantygate. I thought that was so inappropriate and just humiliating. humiliating. And I really like appreciated Erica saying, like, you owe my husband an apology too. Like, yeah. You have all of America talking about my crotch. Yeah. Like, fuck. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
You guys, we're going to be better than that today. We're going to be better than these people. Do you have three reasons why you're qualified to give advice by any chance?
Oh. I did not prepare him for that.
It's fine. Okay. I love to pounce it on someone. Just let's throw see. It out there.
I have had, I used to be a volunteer at a Trevor Project. So mm-hmm. I'm trained in a lot of phone counseling. So I would say that, you know, that's one. Mm-hmm. I would say that, you know, a 34-year-old Mexican man with a 30-inch waist, and that's really fucking hard to do. So I would say that, you know.
Proud of you. Do you work out a lot?
Well, I try to, because it's like I'm just battling my, you know, genetic betrayal.
Tell me about it.
At every cost. So I would say, you know, that, and let's see.
Especially since our food is so starchy.
It's very, very starchy, very carby. It's,
yes,
you know.
I was just thinking, like, I didn't really grow up eating vegetables because, like, the only vegetables that are really, like, inherent to Puerto Rican cooking are, like, root vegetables, which are starchy anyway. Yeah. So it's like.
Is there a lot of corn?
Yeah, some corn.
There can be, yeah.
But more like yuca is like a big.
Oh.
Yeah,
but there's.
I always see those at the market and I would have no idea how to cook it.
Yeah. And I would say it's hard. Third reason is just a lot of my friends come to me for advice. So I would say that those are the three reasons.
You're patient, kind, and a good listener.
I all of those things.
Okay, good.
I think that makes you more than qualified.
Thank you.
I mean, and also none of us legally or actually are. So if you're in any sort of trouble, call a real doctor. Yeah. Because
right.
Who knows? We're all figuring it out too. And actually, you know what? Your doctors are probably figuring it out too, but at least they have a degree. Oh, they all are. They're all sort of at home, probably, you know, cheating on their wives or something. Doctors are not heroes. Or they can be, but not all are. You know, sure. Dr. Miami is no hero.
Dr. Death?
Yeah.
Have anyone heard that podcast?
Yeah. What kind about the terrifying? Guy with the butt implants who just killed that woman?
Yeah.
You know?
There's some doctors that do fucked up shit.
By the way, if you guys are going to do, like, butt implants, just go really above board with it. I would really... That's
don't
an investment.
Don't try to save money on a surgery. Yeah.
That's... Don't do Groupon LASIK. Don't do any of that. Go to a real...
Yeah. Don't go to Target for that. That's not, that's one thing you don't go to Target for.
We are actually, I would say, the Groupon LASIK version of advice podcasts. Yes. That's what we might be. Okay, let's take our first call.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brandon. I'm 21, and I live in the New York area. I'm calling because I wanted to talk a little bit about the Kevin Hart situation and the Oscars, and I wanted to know your thoughts about the entire situation regarding the tweets. I sound very formal. So as I'm calling, it is Friday. So at this point, he's already no longer hosting. And I had to see the Instagram post with the non-apology. And then I saw the apology. And I was debating with someone I was close with this morning because they were saying to me, like, oh, when should he be forgiven? You know, people shouldn't be talking about this from 8 years ago because he's changed now, and why are we harping on this? And he's allowed, and what, you know, how long should he be punished? And my thoughts really were, you know, I understand that people, you know, say things. I'm gay, by the way. I'm gay myself. So I'm a gay man debating with someone who is straight. And so I understand this whole thing of, you know, you say something that's completely terrible, but, you know, if you actually apologize and you feel like you're not in that space anymore and you've learned and you're actively trying to make things better and put out a positive statement for the for the entire community and on social media, that's one thing. But I feel like with Kevin Hart, I was originally really upset with his first Instagram post where he's like, stop looking for reasons to be negative, stop searching for reasons to be angry. That's actually what pissed me off more personally, because that is a situation where someone said something really terrible and I was blaming the gay community and just everyone else who has a problem with his tweets for saying that we're searching for something that's so terrible, that we're looking for a problem. And I just think that's, I find that to be even worse. I understand that Kevin Hart feels that he's apologized multiple times, but I feel like to put that note out there before even apologizing by saying, hey, stop looking for negative things when he was the one that posted something so terrible. That's what really didn't sit well with me. I mean, not that any of it sat well with me, but that I think is what pissed me off the most, to be honest. So I'd love to know your thoughts on the entire situation. I'd also love to know who you guys think should be hosting the Oscars, because I don't know. As of now, no one else is hosting it yet. Sorry for stumbling in my call. Please advise. And I love your show, guys. Thank you. Also,
that was funny. We all that was so perfectly timed because we finally got to the part where you stopped asking the same question four ways, which, by the way, God bless you. I do love this question. But then we all took a breath getting ready to answer. And that, I mean, you have a talent.
Well, yeah,
that comedic timing was perfect. I thought so.
That part's not going to be played just because it's his phone number. So.
Oh, but just put the also.
Yeah.
And then. Okay. So, and also what came after that also is his phone number. So we can't play that, but just so you know. So what do you guys think? Because I just kind of don't think Kevin Hart's very funny. He's not my style of humor to begin with. And also, I don't care about the Oscars. So they trigger me.
Why do they trigger you?
Because I cry. Because they make me cry. And also because I think it's stupid. Because I either care or I don't care. That's
yeah, especially this year. Like, the crop of movies that are out are such downers and so boring. It's like, I'm not that interested in it to begin with. Yeah, I mean, with regard to the Kevin Hart thing, like, I don't know. What were you gonna say?
It's interesting because they introduced that, like, they were going to introduce that new category that was, like, popular films.
Right.
And that, like, might make you care about the Oscars again. Because, like... The last couple decades, it has been like all prestige. And like when the Oscars, like 20, 30 years ago, you used to have really popular movies be in the best picture category.
Totally.
Because they put a lot of money into them.
Yeah.
Right. And they were good.
Yeah.
And also there was less movies.
Yeah, right. That's true.
But like, I think popular movies, it's just such a condescending term.
It really is.
Because
it
just says it's like, well,
you're dummies.
Right.
Here's the movies you dummies love.
Exactly.
Or also just like, hey, but like, you'll never be them.
Yeah.
Like, let's be clear to you, small documentary filmmaker who tried really hard.
No, it's like popcorn. It's like more popcorn.
Do you understand what I'm saying? No, is that a small documentary filmmaker sitting in the audience is being told that like her actual artwork is overridden by popular, you know, it's just, I don't know. I think it's stupid. Yeah. I think the whole thing's fucking stupid. I think it's a big waste of money. I know that people make money from it. Surely they do, the designers and everyone else. But I also feel like it's up there with the late night talk show for me where, and by the way, this is not to say, I don't have anything against anyone. And if you want to hire me to work on your talk show, I'd love that. But in general, and I think we can agree with this for a lot of people, the problem with a lot of these things is the traditions that don't stop. And then also the gimmicky things people try to do, like on the red carpet or whatever. And with talk shows, it's always celebrity interviews that I just walk away and I'm like, I don't like this celebrity anymore.
It's also like canned because they're like, okay, so what's your anecdote?
Right.
Like blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah.
It's like, you know, I mean, it's like that thing where the meme of Lady Gaga saying her, you know, 100 people in the room.
You can have 100 people, which, 99 won't believe in you, but you just have one person.
I don't even think
one person was Bradley Cooper.
No, and she should not be, and I love every minute of it. And if she does not do it in her Oscar speech, if she wins, I'm going to be really disappointed if she doesn't.
Yeah, I actually don't. See, now that's something I don't need in my life. I also don't need that man proposing. I just don't need it in my life. Like, and that's why I don't watch, because I personally... I'm not into it.
But back to like the Kevin Hart of it all.
Well, you know, I mean,
the most frustrating thing for me about that situation was like, all you had to do was like say, I'm sorry. I'm not that person anymore. I've grown, but I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's literally all he had to do. And he ended up doing it anyway.
He totally did it wrong. Yeah. All you have to do is say you're sorry, make a donation to an LGBTQIA charity. And, you know, quite frankly, like, I feel like, you know, it's a little bit on. Not just a little bit, it's a lot on him and like everyone else who is, you know, famous. Like, we're living in triggered times. Like, all you, and you're rich enough, all you have to do is hire an assistant, have them go through your feed, have them go through everything, and just wipe it clean of anything that's remotely offensive.
Well,
that's all you have to do.
And it's also just like, okay,
this is the second time getting caught for these tweets, right? And so his MO, his thing in his mind is that I've already apologized for this, I'm not going to do it again. Right.
Yeah, but I don't even understand like that mindset because it's just like
I don't understand either. I'm just asking.
Yeah. I'm saying like he was just basically like, you know, that's in the past. I don't want to deal with this. People are being negative, and it's like, no, people are trying to hold you like accountable for your own fucking actions.
If he had said, do you think that people would feel differently if he said, As I've said in the past, I apologize for this, and I'd like to reiterate that, but
that
would be okay.
I mean, even that, because it's just like, just say that you're sorry, you regret, just inform us at all that you regret that you, what you did.
Yeah.
Right. And not that, like, I've moved on from it.
Well, especially because like, what he said was so, it's like, well, the weird abuse. That's right. Like, you know,
also, like, the weird thing was, like, people were like trying to defend it as like comedians should say whatever they want when they're, but like what he was doing, they weren't even jokes.
Right. No.
The people that defend, I find, okay, here's what we also have to remember, and I realize this more and more, is that there's a lot of people who I don't even know if they necessarily believe it, and it's very Ann Coulter, but people are realizing that there's an opportunity right now to cash in on being hateful.
Completely.
Because there's an audience that really wants that Lauren Southern, that like right. pretty white girl that's going to be like, you know what? People are too fucking sensitive these days, okay? Kevin Hart can't just like say a joke years ago when everyone used that word. Like, it's just very like people want that. They're looking for that. They're looking for someone to make it safe for them.
Right.
So, and that's...
It's also acknowledging that like, you know what? All of us might have had a problematic thing in the past. And this is the thing about the internet that frustrates me a little bit because people who are like... I've been on Twitter for 10 years and I've managed to not say anything problematic. And it's like, good. It's good for you. But like also, you know, we evolve as human beings.
I've grown a lot as a human
there
being.
There are things I've said on this podcast that I regret.
Me too. Oh,
you
for
know
sure.
What I mean? And I'm like, ooh, when is this going to come out? That like, for sure. You know, but it's also just like, I don't mind because I like having that journey of like, oh yeah, I've actually like the stress that comes with being confronted with these things.
Right.
Is so that they are painful so that you do not do them again.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And totally. You're supposed to learn from the voices that are speaking back at you and understand the emotion that's coming out from them.
Right.
And understand the pain that's happening from them.
Completely.
And so like when you don't acknowledge that,
yeah,
then you're not taking responsibility for your actions.
Because I do
and
think
I can
it
understand
is,
the
yeah.
frustration of like, oh, I already like, do I have to apologize for this for the rest of my life? Maybe yes. But also realize that like every time it comes up, it's being brought up to a different audience. So like the people who might have heard the first apology probably weren't the same audience of like, oh, I'm an Oscar watcher. Like, oh, Kevin Hart. Like it's a different person.
Right.
It's a whole different group of people that, you know, are being exposed to a new version of your work that might have not been as aware of what your past have been like, have never seen an interview with you before.
And growth can work two ways. I will say as like a Howard Stern fan, who's someone who's listened to that show for years, like I've seen a lot of growth in him as a listener. He's changed a lot of the words he says. He's changed a lot of the tone. He changed a lot of the way that he treats and talks to women.
Right.
And I think that, and I will say that like, it's interesting because he acknowledges that he used to speak in ways that were, I mean, Howard Stern has always run a really dirty show and he acknowledges that. And he like, you know, knows that that is part of who has made him, but he'll call people out for saying stuff. He'll correct guests when they say stuff on the show. And it's nice to see that he's not, you know, even Howard is not making a safe space.
I mean,
for
I
people.
Just, I made, I misgendered the, you corrected me, Bruhex.
Oh, yeah.
It's more like gender neutral term for it. I just, I'm so used to it being a feminine part of life that, like, I don't even know what it, but thank you for correcting me on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely, I think it's, you know, the kind of thing where you also, when you're at that level, like, it's your responsibility to sort of like get outside of the bubble of people you pay to be around you to like fluff you up all the time.
Yeah.
And like, you know, be in touch with the world. And, you know, because I'm sure he's around people all the time who just tell him how great he is and how funny he is and how wonderful he is. But you have to get outside of that in order to actually connect with an audience that large because you're, you know, it's also like a very thankless job, you know, so.
And it's like the actual work involved in self-improvement also means owning up for the shitty things that you have done as
Absolutely.
A person. And you might have to do that repeatedly and it's painful, but like that's where the growth comes from.
Totally. Yeah.
It's not just putting on sheet masks and like learning about like the positive things or like trying to like build up your.
Also, like it's very easy to go search your Twitter and just delete shit. And I'm not saying that because it's like, oh, here's how to get away with it.
Yeah.
I'm saying that because it's then you are preventing hateful language from being brought up again, because that the reason why everyone gets emotional about it is not just because, oh, Kevin Hart's a bad person. It's because they're confronted with that language again. And that's frustrating and hurtful. And so one way to avoid hurting and frustrating people is to get rid of some stuff that you're not proud of.
Right.
Because we do
that no longer represents you. Yeah.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Because that's the thing is that it's like people, there's different iterations of everything, businesses, websites, human beings. Like we change over time and improve constantly. And so I think that
different parts of yourself that you start to acknowledge. Like totally. Or like people come into your lives and like, and sad that like, that's that kind of tangential relationship you need to have to understand like another human being. But that happens for a lot of people. Right. Sometimes they need a gay son
right.
to like realize, oh, wait, like the world is really fucked up when it comes to like how we treat the LGBTQ plus community
right.
in this world.
And like you've come really far in accepting me as a flat earther. So like, you know what I mean?
You know, yeah.
There's that. So we always acknowledge and accept each other's Absolutely. Different lifestyles. Yeah, you know, exactly. I recognize that in you and me. So no, fuck you. I've had no support.
No, from,
I've
not.
Had no support no. In my new beliefs.
But like who would you even want to see host at this
I
point?
Don't.
Because it's such a tricky thing.
Oh.
Because it's like they kinda have to be safe, but they still kinda have to be right.
Hannah Gatsby. I think it should be Hannah Gatsby.
That's a great
I think
one.
That would be the best yeah. person to host this because yeah. everyone's interested or wants to see her. It would be controversial, but she would be safe. She would be very brilliant about it. And yeah. she's very on topic and on trend. I don't think her special could be nominated for an Oscar.
I mean, yeah.
Because I don't know if
don't imagine it going well.
There's no
in
comedy
the
category.
Of the country.
Sure, probably yeah. not. But I think that if like that would be Hollywood putting its money where its mouth is because yeah. she's being very
Let's see it do that.
She'd be very she's very celebrated right now by the artistic community, and I feel like that's you know everyone was so excited to like talk about Bridesmaids a couple of years ago. I mean, I look back on that. One of my biggest regrets in life. I'm not kidding. Is when I did red carpet coverage for Eve with Hello Giggles. Like they had us on to talk about like being girls and like what girls are excited about at the movies this year.
Yeah.
And everyone was like really pumped the Bridesmaids thing. And then when they asked me what movie I should have been nominated for that wasn't, I should have said fucking Young Adult, but I didn't say it. And that movie should have totally fucking been nominated. And I think it should have won. I thought it was funnier than Bridesmaids, that it was a better movie. But I didn't do it. So that's one of my biggest regrets this day. I think Hannah Gatsby would be the best person to do it. And I think that also she is really, really likable. And I think that it would be something that people could be angry at. A lot of people would be angry at. But I think the people that were willing to listen would be won over by her. Mm. I think she'd be really good at it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who else?
I'm into Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. Why are we fighting it? They did great at the Golden Globes, I thought.
Yeah.
You know, why not do
it? I do like the idea of like a duo.
Yeah.
As I do think it is a lot to put on one person.
I hate the idea of like a rotating host.
Yeah.
I don't like it for the VMAs. I certainly wouldn't like it. It feels unsafe. That's what it feels like because it's like, oh, and now we're coming back to this person. And so yeah. there's always going to be hiccups with that because it's like, you know, certain people are doing wardrobe to the last second. Then they rush out and like now so-and-so stumbling reading a cue card as opposed to a person who's had 2 weeks of rehearsals and like a team of writers and all this stuff. I just feel like that might be messy.
I think it's too late for them to even really get anybody and it might have to come to that.
Ooh,
like,
yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, I think there's a lot of good voices that are out there that like I might not necessarily like but I know are liked and definitely underrepresented and definitely like wild cards that are begging to host this show. So I don't understand why they wouldn't. I mean, I think that would be if they want a viral moment. They want that Ellen photograph right. moment. Put some fucking local news reporter hosting the Oscars. That's some Bat Kid shit, okay? That's some shit America would get behind.
Dallas Literally Reigns host the Oscars.
Have someone's 68-year-old mother host the fucking Oscars. That is who should.
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence is in the front of the audience. I love
yes,
her.
Yes, yes.
Your work, Jennifer. It's oh, so great.
They should get Kathy Griffin's mom to host the Oscars.
Oh, that would be great.
I think she's 98, literally 98 years old, but I would be here for it. I would. I think that would be great. Why not get
It's what's her face from that show from that what's its name?
Someone's so excited to be there because you know what? That's the other energy. I'm so tired of someone like strolling across the stage being like, you know how it is. Like, it's just like you shouldn't be that confident. And like this is a big deal. And like it makes everyone feel outsidery. Because and that is good. Hollywood yeah. should feel outside. I think it's very weird when people are like average people are friends with big celebrities because I'm like, you shouldn't get that close to the sun. Like, because once you know a bunch of celebrities, the magic's gone, baby. Like, you just know. You know how the sausage is made, and it's not cute anymore, no. You know? Yeah. So yeah. I would like if it was someone who really was like, what? Like, not the yodel boy. He's already, although he is a good celebrity. Have you seen how he's matured?
No, I haven't seen
that. That kid can work a room like nobody. Like, he really is. He's all finger guns and twirling, kissing to the ladies, like, that the yodel boys turned out great, and he's clean. He's not like one of those like Danielle Bregolis or something. Yeah. That's who should host the Oscars. That I'm would be it. Great. All the bad kids from Dr. Phil. Just fucking verbally.
Catch me outside.
Whoa, Vicky.
That white girl. Best picture.
That white girl who insists that she's black. Whoa, Vicky. She would be. Well, that would really be a turn.
Anyone who's excited to be there would be a nice change of
Kevin
pace.
Kevin Spacey, yeah. Anybody? I mean, no, that's the other thing. Ooh. Do you know he's hiding on an island?
No, really?
Yeah, they have him on an island. That's what it will
say.
I don't know. But probably, honestly, like, you can do some Googling. There's a lot. There's an intricate network in this town, according to some sites. And I will tell you, they are protected.
Interesting.
Is my microphone on?
It should be.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no light on this one.
Yeah, that
was okay, okay. Mm-hmm. This isn't my favorite one. No. You switched them?
That's the one you've been having for the last 3 weeks.
Are you fucking with me? You switched my mics?
Like...
But you didn't tell me.
It's not that big of a deal.
No, but that's my best friend. I can't. But it's that one, isn't it?
This one?
That one, yeah.
Oh. Fuck.
I know my big blue when I see it.
Apparently you didn't because you thought it was this one.
Do we need to switch?
No, she just won't. She like, now she knows I love it. So she, I don't think that's right, by the way.
It's a microphone.
I'm just going to. That's what you think, but it means more to me than that, and don't hurt my working relationship, because now I feel threatened and I don't like it. I feel out of control.
Well, no, like the Mother May I Sleep With podcast mic has been the same mic that you use. That's your boy. This is it. This is your boy.
No, the one I use for Mother May I Sleep With podcast is Sammy's mic.
Well, the one that was in the house.
Which one's the one I sleep with? Which one? Okay.
This one, but when we've done Please Advise, we've been using that one.
I don't care if America hears this. They should know what you've been doing to me.
You've been using that mic for the last three weeks. You've been using that one for the last 3 weeks. I've been recording with this one.
Do you agree with what I'm saying?
I understand. You get comfortable with
this. This is like if someone took your baby blanket and your mom tried to be like, no, it's yours. It doesn't matter. It's just a blanket.
You didn't notice the first time you had it.
It's just a blanket. It's just a blanket. It's just a blanket. Well, all right. Anyway. So Christina's sabotaging me, and we'll take our next call.
Hey, Malls and crew. My name's Andrea. I'm a 29-year-old in Austin, Texas. I saw your request for holiday theme questions, and I figured I'd drop you a line. Every year I end up going home for Christmas. And while I love my family, they are very conservative, and sometimes dealing with them can be a little stressful. And my problem is my reaction to them getting defensive about their politics or just rubbing me the wrong way is to well up in tears and cry. And then that immediately escalates the situation from like 0 to 100 because they think that I'm getting overly upset about it when really it's just kind of how my emotions come out. And then that actually turns into real tears. And I think every Christmas night for the past 3 years, I have spent crying in my parents' guest room because things have just gotten from a 1 to a 10, and nobody's happy. So, Malls, you seem like a pretty emotionally resilient person, or at least somebody who can kind of stand their ground in stressful emotional situations, and I'm just wondering if you have any advice for me when it comes to dealing with my family when these little things come up where I just kind of get worked up. I'd like to kind of maintain my composure and maintain the peace while still kind of being able to speak up for what I believe in or what I stand for. So if you have any advice, that'd be really great. I really appreciate it. And hopefully I will hear back from you.
I don't want you to take this the wrong way because I see a little bit of myself in you. But have you ever considered a mood stabilizer? And I'm being dead serious because it's really taken the edge off of harsh emotional reactions for me. I've realized that I should not be on SSRIs don't work for me. And I went to my doctor and I was like, I think my issue is like not depression. I think that I just like fucking overreact. And so that's been really helpful for me. I don't know if maybe you want to look into that. I'm not saying that in a derogatory way as I do live that life myself. Yeah. That said, you're on board?
I was going to say something very similar. Like, I tend to, anytime I go to an interaction with my family who, you know, is does contain conservative Republicans, of which I'm not, I take a big old dose of CBD honey in my tea before I go over, and I'm cool as a cucumber, very calm, breathing exercises, alcohol, you know, anything that to sort of just, you know, calm the body tends to work for myself.
So here's my thing. I will say something if I feel that someone is making a proclamation publicly that is damaging.
Yes, agreed.
Like if I know that they live that life, like I like, and you know, I feel like they take it in the workplace or something else, I will be like, you know what? I don't think that's fucking okay. Like that's fucked up. Right. But you know, I don't care. Like, I mean, I care, but I don't care. I had a relative to say like those damn liberals to me or something over the holiday. And I didn't say anything because I knew what it was. Right. It was a dig to try. And I just like, I don't fight with people in my life. I don't like it. I only fight with someone in my life if I feel that they're bringing a shitty energy to me.
Totally.
And so that was just sort of like, you know what? I'm not going to change this man's mind today. I'm not going to like get him to do a 180 on any sort of thing that, you know, and by the way, also he's not going to be able to convince me. And I know that, you know, I read my red pill Reddit. Okay. I have my eyes open to what they believe.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change that today, honey. Their community is too strong. And if it's just a matter of a day, it's not going to be the battle I fight. And I don't mean that in an I give up way, but I feel like in my life I live a different way. So I just ignore. If it's going to really like ruin the holiday and I'm going to be sobbing in a guest room, which is no fun for anybody, no one wants that.
It does more damage to her. You know, it sounds like she's doing more damage to herself than, you know, than her own family. And she's not getting
and fighting the food. You're fighting the good fight at an expense that's not really
right.
Because that's the thing. I think that there's so much rhetoric out there about standing up for what's right. And people also do this with mental illness where everyone's like, you should disclose your mental illness. Like, no, that is like a rich white woman's thing. Like that. You can do that when you are self-employed and can like go on that thing. But for a lot of people, you can't do that. And for a lot of families out there, you can't bite back at the dinner table. You know, there's so many articles that come out right now about how to like, you know, fight back at Thanksgiving dinner. And I don't think that's right. That's necessarily the move for everyone. And frankly, the holiday is about everyone. It's not about you. It's not about the person who made the jackass comment. It's about everyone.
Yeah.
And
yeah, at a certain point, you just have to tell your relatives.
I think the big thing is like not to let stuff go unchallenged. You know what I mean? But because then when are you going to have those conversations? Like, I'm not around my relatives enough for like, but the holidays. Then when? Like when someone dies and I'm flying in for the funeral?
But is it your job to challenge everyone? Like,
no, challenge everyone. But I mean, if there's just discussion happening, you know, you can be the dissenting voice in the room.
I was at a dinner.
Think there's a fair amount of, emotional endurance you build up so that you become a little bit less sensitive to those kind of environments.
So here's a question. I went to a dinner not that long ago with you don't know these people even, but they're an older couple. I'm not joining a family, but they're an older couple. And there was another guest who was around my age, which this all sounds very sexual, but it's not. And Me Too came up, and the husband doesn't work in the industry at all, but has lived here his whole life. And, you know, he was kind of saying like, you know, when I was working, he works in like science. He'd be like, there'd be women coming into the lab and hitting on me. And I'd be like, I'm a married man, you know. And it was kind of like, it was kind of the situation where I felt like I had to say, well, you realize that people aren't complaining about like that sort of thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And, he was sort of nitpicking with me about Me Too. And then his wife actually brought up a conversation about a situation in her workplace that was really kind of upsetting. And he like got up and left the table.
Yeah.
And I felt terrible because I pushed back on his initial comment, which caused his wife to want to step forward and back me up, which brought some sort of anger, trauma, embarrassment upon him that that had happened to his wife, because that's not an uncommon reaction with men who are with women who are sexually assaulted, which is unfortunately shame, anger, and a like, you know, some men are ashamed to be with women who have been sexually assaulted, right? Yeah. So it really fucking put a wrench in the gears and I felt terrible.
Yeah.
And so there is a point where I say, you know, yes, there's certain things that these things can't go unchallenged, but in even trying to finesse, I wasn't even challenging. I was trying to like just finesse a point in, I ruined dinner for everyone.
I don't think you were the one who ruined the dinner. It was him.
Right. But I was in his home and it like, you know, it wasn't necessarily, listen, I don't know this man that well. It wasn't my point to, it wasn't my job to school this man on his own Sunday dinner.
We have different approaches. I'm completely okay with making people uncomfortable in their home if it's for a righteous, if it's for not, I'm trying to word this right because I don't want to seem like it's coming at you because I understand that.
Just tell me how you would say it.
I can understand that impulse of like, it's hard to fight that impulse. Like you're a guest in someone's home and you want to be accommodating because someone's welcoming you into your, you want to be a good guest, you know? And if we were, you know, we were both raised the same way, you know, it's like you be gracious, but like I'm at a place in my life where I'm not willing to put someone else's comfort ahead of my own anymore.
So, okay, Here's my question. I work well with like example dialogue. Mm-hmm. So like, let's say I said exactly to you, how would you respond to me in a way that, and how would you then physically carry yourself through the evening? Would you leave? Would you? So
okay,
let's say I said, Christina, I've worked in, you know, science for many, many years, and there'd always be women coming into my office, you know, so I don't know. Some of these accusations, they seem really out there to me. I feel like people are too sensitive.
I would ask you to investigate your feelings on that and listen to the women's stories and see how these stories have damaged their career paths, how they've impacted their lives, how these have had financial effects on them. And these are very real things. So like you're taking your singular view on the world and you're taking a very individualistic approach about how you move about the world and how you're viewing it. But I would say, look at it in the grander scheme of outside of yourself and your own experiences and lend yourself to compassion and empathy to somebody else's story.
That's literally exactly what I said.
Right.
Yeah. And it made, but then
why
I had
did
just
you
sit
feel terrible?
Because he finished his dinner quickly, got up. This man is dying of cancer. He finished his meal quickly, got up, went to his room, came back out to have a cookie for dessert with us. That was so uncomfortable.
Right.
He went back to his room and then it was just quiet. And the conversation was strange and I didn't want to chew and screw because I just like ate a meal that they made for me.
Yeah.
And that's a very like, to me, that's toxic.
So like,
someone's house and eat and leave.
So like to me, it's like, him and his feelings, like he needs to deal with that. That has nothing to do with me. I have nothing because I was right in asserting like what the real issues are here.
Yeah.
I'm in the right. And like whatever he needs to do, that's for him to unpack.
Well, that's how I feel.
That's between him and his God, honey.
But that's how I feel. Like, which is that it is, but at the same time, I can feel both ways, which is that I know that I was right. And I don't think that I shouldn't have said it.
Right.
Although I do think that was very fucking uncomfortable. And I hate feelings of discomfort, not even just for him, but for the other two people that were there. Because
right.
I, even though they agreed with me, by being the one who stood up, I ruined everyone's meal.
I don't think I would look at it like that.
But it was. Like, I can read a room. You know when a meal's ruined.
Right.
but then I would be fine with ruining the meal. Like,
if it means like standing up for the right thing in that moment, like
I just don't know, 20 years
from now, am I really going to think about how that meal impacted my life? I don't know. I just don't think it's it's not really an issue for me. I'm okay with ruining another person's day if I'm in like the right for standing up for causes that matter.
Right. It's but not, can I this feel work both at the same time? Because I do.
You can totally feel both at the same time, but also acknowledging like this work is uncomfortable and you're unpacking a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it's going to be unlearning a lot of things. And it's also recognizing that society kind of breeds this shame into us for fighting for what's okay for us to exist.
Because sometimes I don't know if I'm being twittery. Like, because sometimes I'm like, am I rage culturing on this man right now on a Sunday dinner? And like, how is this affecting my dear friend and her other guest? Like, that was...
At some point, I want to hear from you, but I just want to reflect on my own experiences. There have been times lately where I've been coming to blows with my own dad because of our dissenting views, because he's been very old school. And even like he tells me millennials are too sensitive about the way that they use words and like, you know, women, how we treat men. Men are apparently garbage. Like what is this society? And I've actually had like really hard talks with my dad and like things. And I felt there've been times where I've like come about and I feel terrible, but ultimately I know that what I'm standing up for is the right thing. And that we have to make a new world where things that are, we don't internalize things that damage us anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's, I have to do this work a lot just being a person of color.
Right.
And so there have been times where I've internalized so many things and I've been so hurt from my experiences from not speaking up because I cared too much about what the other person was feeling and also how I was showing up in the room and like worrying about still having access, worrying about still being able to have a career, worrying about still being liked. And you know what? It's like, you know, it's hard. It's not easy. It's uncomfortable.
It's a really hard line to straddle for sure. And like, it's one thing, you know, like having those conversations with your dad is super important. And like, that's, I think definitely that's the best way I think to bring about change. When you're in a situation like yours, which I've been before, like it's really hard. And I try to be really, you know, unfortunately I try to be like very as generic as possible. And I just say like, I completely, totally and completely disagree with that. And my mind is not going to change. So we should probably talk about something else and, you know, and try and move on. But, you know, a lot of times that doesn't work. People still try to engage with you.
It's hard the first time you're meeting someone. Yeah. If it was anyone, if I had even met them a second time, I'd be like, you know how, and I even make a joke about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, oh, you know how we feel about this. Like, let's move on.
How about this? I've reframed the way that I moved about the world. I'm not trying to be a nice person. I'm a kind person. Mm-hmm. And those are two very, very different things. Because niceness, you can fake.
Mm-hmm.
And it also involves in keeping up some sort of societal norms. And it also involves some sort of a lot of performative. You cannot perform kindness.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come from a
You've
place
always been
like,
kind.
Yeah, it's very important to me.
Yeah.
And so, like... I understand those feelings of like, oh God, I just ruined this evening. And it's like, well, no, him and his feelings and his ego ruined the evening.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately you were standing in the right. All the other, like that woman knew you were also right. And she had to do the, like the uncomfortable work. Of,
but
like,
then everyone continued to be uncomfortable after. And I think that's
but
what I feel bad about.
He made it uncomfortable. He was the one who made it uncomfortable.
No, he did. He did. Yeah. No, I know. I know he did. I know he did because I left knowing that I was right. I mean, I wasn't talking bullshit. I was like hitting hard facts, you know, like these women have not worked since this has happened and they get nothing from it because no one's giving them a job.
What? So these guys can't, like, because Louis C.K. is coming back and they're like, what? These guys can't make a living? And I'm like, he literally has made millions of dollars. He's made his living 10 times over.
Yeah.
And he hasn't even let a year go by.
My big joke about that is like, oh, he has to do his art. Like, that's how he feels about it. Like, he just can't stop doing it. You cannot keep his stand up from him. He has to do his fucking art. And like, that's all it is. It's ego. It's like he has to, it's like, no, it's like, I understand. I get it. People get very precious and they do the whole, like, I mean, if I wasn't, you know, a stand up, I'd be unemployed. Like, I just couldn't do anything else. I get that people do that.
Yeah.
When you have, like, probably, I would say probably $100 million, right? I mean, he's done very well. And that animation work, honey, that's the real money in this town. But he's done very well. He doesn't need to do his art. Like, and at the expense of all, like, anyone in the audience, anyone in the given audience. And I think the lukewarm reception. It's the Luke-ness that upsets me about it, is that there are people that are here for this, like in the audience. It's not just like loud. You know, when Joe Rogan knows it's fucked up, like that means it's fucked up. I love Joe Rogan because he really toes the line. And when he goes, no, I'm like, see, like not even those red pillars who love their Rogan can get behind this. I enjoy Joe Rogan.
It's one thing to have like, you know, beliefs or whatever, but it's another thing. I think a lot of times people who have these beliefs, like they really go out of their way to like make you feel uncomfortable. Like I was in a gay bar.
That's all it is. It's like they're trying to intimidate you. Yeah. And I'm just not fucking having
it
anymore.
That's
how I felt at the dinner was I felt like he was waiting for me to like be like, you're right. Some women lie about rape.
That's exactly what he was. He was trying to intimidate you.
Right.
And just like, like what makes you an expert, sir, on your expertise or like sexual harassment because of one office? Right. Like, I'm sure those women were hitting on you.
And that's why I stopped having sex with them.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, but I mean, like, that's kidding, the thing. Guys. It's like, it's really uncomfortable and it's really hard to resist that urge of like, ooh, no, I'm ruining. Like, this is what we say about guys, right? And how the locker room talk and like, if there's some sexual assault happening or they're talking about women in a way that's disparaging, like, oh, you don't want to be the one that kills the buzz in the room, but it's uncomfortable work,
right?
But it's necessary work.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the
I
just want to veer left for a second or veer right. People like Gavin McGinnis and Lauren Southern in particular have just fascinated me because they have made so much. I mean, Gavin McGinnis has started the Proud Boys, you know, he is a big force on this alt-right thing. He really loves it. And it's very obvious to an extent that he's playing a character. And a lot of these people do ramp it up. And a part of me gets really torn between, fuck, that is smart business. And also, see you in hell, motherfucker.
That was actually a storyline on Dear White People, where it's like this woman was just playing Tessa Thompson's character and spoilers.
I really think that there's a great show there about a couple that has exactly opposite politics of the politics they make millions and millions off of.
And they're just like laughing at home.
Yeah. And because it's just, I really think there's plenty of couples out there that we've had. Mandy Stattmiller was on here and said her husband is a Trump supporter and that it doesn't bother her. And
like we were trying to, on Charmed, we were thinking of, you know, different casting possibilities for certain things. And Freddie Prinze Jr. came up, and I did not know this, but he is apparently a Trump supporter.
Oh, he is.
He's a Trump supporter. Sarah Michelle Gellar is not. And it's just that is an interesting thing. The Maria Shriver, Arnold Schwarzenegger of it all, all of those couples who make that work.
And I think that also, like, we've talked about this. I think I talked about this with either Karen on the Flowers in the Attic podcast or maybe on this podcast. Mm. But there's definitely like old white men in Hollywood. There's a subset, you know, James Woods, Scott Baio, that are just getting a new life from this. So it's little like speaking fees come in. It's not a bad business to be in, except it's the worst business to
be in. Antonio Sabato Jr.
Yeah.
People are disappointing. People are really disappointing.
I will say like, and I'll punt it back to you real quick because I feel like I've been interrupting you this whole time, Marcus.
No.
There's a really great book I've been reading lately that's called White Fragility, and it's by Robin DiAngelo. And it's a really great way of understanding how people fail to see race in this country in a certain way, but it also colors like larger arguments that you can have for talking about hard things in general. So I would recommend that book to a lot of people.
That's a good rec.
Yeah.
That's a really good rec. Is it on Audible?
It might be. I don't know.
Because I know a lot of people can blow through shit on Audible.
Yeah, it's a really it's a short book. It's only
to get a paper book these days sometimes. You know, you're like, ooh, this is a homework assignment. Yeah. I love it. I have a million books.
It's only 151 pages long, but it has really good information, and it also talks about like emotional endurance and talking about these hard things that make other people uncomfortable but are necessary conversations that we need to have.
Would you recommend that for like everyone? Should I read that?
I mean, I'm a person of color and I'm reading it. I'm learning from it. I'm learning about how to talk to white people about race because of, you know, we do take an individualistic approach. It's this idea that like the only people who are racist are people who are intentionally being racist and they're mean.
Right.
And it's like, no, there's a lot of more subtle ways you can do it. And also the way we talk about race in this country is broken because we see it in an individualistic way.
Yeah.
Whereas like that person is racist, but really it's like, no, this system is racist.
There's also
here's like what enables that system.
There's also etymology is an issue. Like, there's a lot of words that are just fucking problematic. Thank God. Yeah. Do you remember?
Caucasian.
We did learn.
Caucasian stems
still...
from like a, the Caucasian stems from a poorly researched like science thing that identified different races.
Yeah.
And so like it, one of them was the caucus is what they called white people. And so like we still use that word to talk about whiteness. And it's not a proper term we should ever use.
Because just white.
The science, it's just white.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I feel like there is a line and like in this, you know, a line that, you know, you can cross. And I feel like this guy, oddly enough, crossed this line with you because you're a guest in his home.
I still like, feel uncomfortable.
It's his job to make you feel like OK and safe and, you know, and welcome. And,
yeah.
And, you know, so I feel like, you know, in crossing that line with you, he got, you know, he I don't know what reaction he expected. I think he got the reaction he wanted, oddly enough. And it reminds me of a time recently I was at this gay bar Rockwell and well, gayish bar Rockwell in Los Angeles waiting. I was
not getting, great brunch there.
Not great. No, it's I was getting my car washed across the street. And so I was just getting a drink while I was waiting for that. And this older white gentleman comes in with a Make America Great Again hat. And he's with a group of friends that, you know, they're clearly like gathering for some like organizational thing. And he comes over to me and starts talking to me. And starts, you know, hitting on me and being very, like, you know, weird. And at one point, he made a I said something and he made a comment like, you know, are you even gay? And I was like, are you even gay? You're wearing a Make America Great Again hat. And I had to kind of, you know, dress him down a little bit because it's one thing to, you know, and he, you know, was making a comment about how some lesbian couple was yelling at him in West Hollywood. And it's like, yeah, because you're hitting on some, you're coming over here and you're hitting on someone who looks like people who are in cages because of this person that you're supporting.
Oh, yeah. You know, there must be like a weird fetish going
on. So it's
on
like
there.
A weird thing. Like, why are you doing this? And like, it's one thing to have your beliefs, but it's another thing to wear the hat and come out into an environment that is, you know, that is being, you know, persecuted against for, you know, by this current administration.
There's a lot of gay men that from, just like, hate women.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. But great example of someone from a marginalized community also like, affecting another marginalized group.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. I hate that realization that I never realized it, but a lot of gay men, I mean, lesbians definitely get it the worst, I think, because they're of so little value to them, you know,
right.
Like straight girls can be accessories sometimes too. I feel like that's a reverse thing that people talk about a lot. I do think it's true. A lot of women treat gay men like accessories, but gay men treat women like accessories too sometimes.
Yeah.
So I
think there are instances where, like, you know, confrontation isn't the way to go, especially if it comes at the risk of your own physical safety.
Right.
And so like maybe not taking my aggressive, quote unquote aggressive approach is the best way to go. But I think whatever these important conversations you're having is always going to be uncomfortable. And right. Like, if you are really about, if it really is that something that you're passionate about, so it sounds like it does. It also sounds like you need to do a little bit of emotional work to build up your endurance to have those conversations.
Right.
Totally.
Totally. Yeah.
I feel you, girl. Well, that was deep. Do you want to go to another question? Do we have maybe something a little like,
I'm trying to find something a little like
flirty?
Fun?
Yeah. A flirty little call.
Yeah,
what's my favorite color?
Hey, Malls, Christina, and guest. This is Christina with a K, woo, calling in from Cleveland. Don't really have anything too crazy, but I'm 28, kind of feeling more like an adult lately, and a lot of my friends are starting to get buy houses, and I actually... I don't know why I jumped the gun and bought a house at 25. I know Malls will probably say, oh, that's so Ohio Midwest, but I did that, and a lot of older friends, you know, kind of gave us housewarming gifts, and at the time I was like, wow, this is crazy, and now I'm 28 going on 29 soon here, and a lot of my other friends are getting married, slowly starting to buy houses. I'm actually blanking out a lot on really good housewarming gifts or just anything like that. So just wondering if you guys had any advice on some good housewarming gifts that are just in general great for anyone. I have a lot of active friends as well, so I don't know, anything like that, please. Advice. Bye, guys.
I know I can like sass people on this show, but like I looked at Christina when you said the Ohio thing and I was like, do I talk like that? And she was like, I don't know what the, listen, girl, let me tell
think,
you something.
Like, I think there's like a people make assumptions about like East Coast leaders.
Well, no, I know what she's talking about, which is that like when oftentimes people call and they say they're getting married very young, I assume they are not in a coastal city and oftentimes they are not. So sometimes I gauge whether or not when someone says, is this normal? I gauge it by where they might be geographically. Mm-hmm. I have no problem with Cleveland. I actually would love to go. My friend Troy lives there.
I hear it rocks.
Yeah, Cleveland rocks. Big Drew Carey fan. I'm sure you hate that because it's like one of those things that people probably say, like Bean Town, park the car in Harvard Yard. Like I've never heard that. But that said, I would not say that to you. And I'm sorry. Sometimes people say things like Malls will probably say, and it's like the meanest thing. And I'm like, oh my God, like has no one ever teased you? Like there's one thing between like busting someone's chops and being violently cruel. Like I'd never be like, oh, you fucking Ohio loser.
You read that line.
Congratulations on your fucking house, you 25-year-old loser from Ohio. What are you from, Ohio or something? Like, what am I, God? Like, Jesus Christ. But anyway, buy for a house like you buy for a wedding. But like get a Le Creuset or get like a get, you know, something, get a ring.com. If they, you know, they probably have their own, people have their own shit figured out a lot of times, like mm-hmm. their own systems in terms of how the house actually runs.
Yeah.
So I would say like, first of all, ask, because they right. might already have a toaster oven or not, you know, like when you saddle up that 250 at, you know, Sur La Table or something for like a fucking juicer. Make sure they need it, you know? A vase is never... People, a vase is like a nice gift.
I was just going to say like a nice... I tend, whenever there's a housewarming, I tend to get people a nice vase from Jonathan Adler.
Yeah.
Because I find that like that's something that you wouldn't buy for yourself.
You never buy for yourself.
And you can always bring them flowers to put in that vase mm-hmm. anytime you go over to visit
All
later.
Of mine are like the ones that come with my flowers. Mm-hmm. And I feel embarrassed about them and I hate them. And then I have two beautiful ones that I don't even think I can put water in. So, I mean, that sounds like a really nice. That sounds like a really nice thing. And that's yeah. like a cute little relationship. And also I found you can find a lot of like independent like ceramic artists online. I actually followed one yesterday that I think might be Danish or Swedish. But they had really gorgeous stuff. And my first thought was, oh, I should get something from here for my mom. But
I like that idea because like people could always use like a little thing to put on a table. You know what I mean? So like a nice ceramic piece or like a vase or a vase, I think is really a good way to go. Yeah. If you're not going to go like the gift card route or like if they didn't have something in on their registry. Or I guess you can get them like a scented candle, a nice scented candle.
I wish they hadn't changed your followers so that you can see who you followed last as opposed to now it's just telling me like Ariana Grande is like up at the top. It's all my verifieds are up at the top.
Oh.
That's so annoying. I want to know this ceramics company now. Well, if I find it, I'll post it for you. But I thought it was really cool. Cool. And you can find like unique stuff like that. I think like a unique piece is really cool too. Or for Jackie and Adam's wedding, I bought them something on their registry. But then I also found this like pink geode sort of cheese tray, sort of Ooh. Plate thing. And I got that for them too because Jackie loves pink and geodes are where it's at right now. It's like basically like that coaster over yeah. there, except it was pink and huge. And she loved that. So if you can add something special, like if you know your friend has a favorite color, you know, that'd be cool.
Right. Also this time of year, a Christmas ornament.
That's a very classy gift is to bring. I kind of love when people have those parties, like bring an ornament for the tree sort of parties.
You have some really great ornaments on your tree, Molly.
Thank you. Some of them are from my childhood. Some of them are I got on Etsy. A lot of them are really old, like since I was a kid type shit. Yeah, that's the best part about Christmas ornaments. They all have memories. Every single one. It's so, except for that snow baby. I don't remember who gave me that snow baby, but I think I got it in high school from like my great aunt.
Aw.
Yeah. I'm not positive.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Do we have another call or are we wrapping up?
We have another call.
Let's do another call.
We have a letter or two, but.
Oh, let's do another call. I need a letter, or a letter, whatever you want.
Okay. Let me see.
Christina's going to read a letter.
Hey guys, I wanted your opinion slash experience on something. I got sober 2 years ago after spending most of my 20s in a blackout. I have a nice solid pack of friends that are always inviting me out to parties slash events. And when they're at the bar, I often just swing by, say hi, and leave. With the holidays here and Friendsgiving, sorry, we're getting into this late, Friendsgiving and festivities, wondering if, in your experience, having a sober person who can't drink versus someone who chooses not to is uncomfortable? I usually play it one or two ways, make a big joke out of it, like, nah, no drinks for me, you know, still, but you'll still like me tomorrow. Or I just avoid the topic. Sometimes it feels like more work than it's worth to make other people comfortable with it, but the flip side is not going out. That's pretty sad for me. Thoughts?
Well, like, unless you have to, unless you feel uncomfortable and feel like you have to make a joke, I think saying, like, I'm good, is it like I'm sticking to water is enough or whatever. And anyone who has a problem with that isn't your friend.
It's actually like a good, you have a good barometer now for like whether or not someone is shitty in a really subtle way.
I've realized I've had a couple of friends who were like, stay and drink. And I've also had friends who were like, can you stay up? No, let's stay up. Let's come on. Let's hang out. Let's stay up. And it's like when I say I'm tired or when I'm done drinking, trust me, and you're not my friend if you don't agree with me on that. Like, if I'm an adult, Uber exists. If I'm going to leave, I'm going to leave. I had to have a conversation with two of my friends that I noticed were in a really codependent relationship. And I had to say to them, like, yo, you are adults. If one person wants to go home and the other person wants to stay and drink, you do that. But like, you are physically responsible for your body. If you pass out at a party or if you're mad or if you have a temper tantrum, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know, and also, but at the same time, you have to have a friend who's good enough to know that like it's when enough is enough, you know?
I kind of hate the friends that are like, no, come on, stay out longer. And it's just like, I'm fucking tired. Like, yeah. I'm in my 30s. Yeah. Like, what are you going to try to do? Peer pressure me in my 30s to like stay out later? That's not a good friend move. Like, accept what I'm saying and like, let me go away.
It's one thing to have someone like express that they're going to miss you and they wish you would stay for the fun time. It's another thing when, I mean, I've really been dragged. No, I'm not kidding. Like, I've literally been like, I am falling asleep. And I wasn't even that drunk. I was just exhausted. It was like after a day of travel. And I was like, I'm falling asleep. I can't do this. I have to go sleep. That's a form of, sleep deprivation is a form of torture. And like, if you're someone like me in particular, you know me better than most people. Like, I fucking need my sleep. And if I don't get it, the brain isn't functioning. Yeah. So when someone takes that from me, I'm like, not only do you not have my best interests in mind, like, you're a very shitty person, you know? And that's just it. That's it. What about you?
Yeah,
what do you think?
I drink, but there have been times when I've been on a diet where, like, I'm like, oh, I'm only having, like, two
Whole
drinks
30
a week.
Or something. Yeah.
And, like, friends are like, you know, oh, you know, stay, have more. I just try to make a joke and say, like, oh, I'm saving all the alcohol for you. It's more for you.
Yeah.
You know, have at it. But, you know, it's like, I just make a hard line and say no, but completely, you know, agree with you. It's like, I'm a professional. I need my sleep. I have, you know, shit to do, responsibilities. Like, it's oftentimes these other people who either don't have these responsibilities or who have someone, they're like dating someone or married to someone who takes care of those responsibilities.
Right.
I don't have that. So yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. It's just not, I don't know. And also I think another thing to keep in mind is when I say that is like, it's the people that push are the problem. I don't think it's if someone, I said to my friend the other night, I was like, oh, you're not having a drink with dinner. Like, that's fine, I think, because my friend does drink and I didn't know. Mm-hmm. But I think when anyone ever bullies you for it, or when I was very young, I didn't understand why people got sober. I didn't realize how serious it is. And so I was very like, you know, I think that I thought sober people were annoying and very high and mighty. But that was very youthful of me. That's like the word I would use. It was like youthful ignorance. But if you're with a grown ass adult, especially one that's like hammered and they're giving you a hard time, honey, they have a problem. And you know that if you stop drinking, you know that. So let it be. Just don't hang out with them.
I do wonder if a little bit is a lot more of like her perceived anxiety over,
yeah, it,
like,
is,
yeah, about not being accepted. And it's, yeah, just, how do you get over something like that?
It is. I mean, it, well, it's perceived anxiety. And what, the only thing I think that she might discover is how fucking annoying people are when they're drunk.
Oh, yeah. God. So bad.
Like, yeah, if you've ever been really, like, dead ass sober around, like, there's a reason why people say, I gotta catch up to you guys. And it's because drunk people are fucking annoying. And, like, especially when it's, like, all day cocktails sort of thing. Like, I have one friend in particular that I feel like she's melting and falling to pieces every time I see her. And I'm like, girl, like, I just don't think you can drink. Like, I stay home. I go home at that point. Right. And, like, you're ready to, we've got 6 hours ahead of us, honey.
Yeah.
You know, and that's tough. I've been in those spots, but, like, it's, some people are perma there, and that really concerns, that's concerning to me. So in a way, I feel like you have an opportunity to look from the outside in and kind of see why, continue to see why you're sober.
Yeah. And, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with saying, like, this can't be fear and loathing every single time we hang out. Like, we need to have a quiet moment. We need to have, like, yes, we need to have a one-on-one. We need to have, like, a fun little Gilmore Girls coffee moment.
Yeah.
I cannot do this, like, Courtney Love thing with you every single time we hang out.
I have friends that, like, it's like every time we hang out, it's like, let's go crazy. And then it's just nice to sometimes just have a fucking normal dinner. And yeah, it's like not a big deal. Yeah. And like, but you have to check in and remember to do, yeah, that. Cause it's easy to, people only have so many people they reach out to. Right. And so, and people also usually when they want to go out, they want to have fun. And for a lot of people that means nightlife, which for, yeah, a lot of people means drinks. Right. And that's not the way it always has to be, but I think that you'll quickly learn that drunk people aren't paying attention to what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like, I have a friend that it took me years to realize that everyone was getting really, really drunk around him, but he was nursing the same beer all night. And you're like, motherfucker, like, you are the connector. You're the one who brings us all together to get shit-faced together. And you're nursing a beer in the corner? Like, what the fuck? Like, I'm making an ass out of myself for years in front of you, and, yeah, you're sober? What, yeah, the fuck? It was,
it's
like,
so funny.
It was literally like finding out you were having sex with a different person. Like, I was like, I was really like, oh, I thought we were in this together, and you're fucking sober. But no, just, he wasn't sober, but you know what I mean.
It is interesting to see what someone else's sobriety, how someone else's sobriety makes other people uncomfortable, and it's like what they're projecting onto that is very revealing.
Right.
So just like notice that.
That's what, yeah, that's what I'm, is usually, that's like the thing that they say is like when someone has a problem with you not drinking, they have a problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the people who scrutinize you for being sober.
Yeah.
Someone got mad at me for saying that recently and I didn't understand why.
They probably have a problem.
No, they were sober.
Oh, interesting.
They took it as like me saying that they had a problem. And I was like, no, I'm saying the opposite, which, yeah, is, but I don't know why. So if anyone sober out there wants to tell me why that was offensive, I would, yeah, love to know.
Yeah.
Because I said it from a place of compassion and what I feel is deep honesty.
Yeah.
But you let me know.
Yeah.
Do we have any other?
This is an episode of like learning how to use words and also speaking, yeah, with intention. I don't know.
Like, yeah. What was last episode's theme again? It was like, get your life together, like pull that, yourself up from the inside.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll never recover from that bathroom, yeah, call ever again.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was crazy.
What would you do with in that situation?
Oh, my God. The shitting situation? That's tough.
Because we said HR, and then, yeah, HR was like, no such problem has ever been reported.
The theory that evolved was like, HR was the one who was behind it. And so, right? It's like, because they can't implicate themselves.
But then I say at that point, call the police.
Well, I mean, a building, at least, is there a building manager? Is there like
Call the police. Yeah. This is an issue for the police. People who play with fecal matter are two steps away from murdering someone. It's literally the truth. People who do that are oftentimes, it's terrible. Children who play with their feces are oftentimes showing signs of behavioral issues to come, or oftentimes they're victims of molestation. Mm. And then when adults do it, They're serial killers. So just don't do that, please. And also call the police. If someone is smearing fecal matter anywhere, that is what prisoners do to get attention. And a lot of times those prisoners are in for grisly murders. I just don't feel comfortable around it. Would you call the police?
I feel uncomfortable calling the police in general.
I agree with that. I also don't call the police. I've never called the police in my life, so I don't really know how that would work. But
this episode's going to air around the end of the year.
Okay.
So before we leave, I do want to go out and say, like, what was the biggest thing either you learned this year in general or about you or like that helped you as a person?
Oh.
And if you need a minute to think about that.
Yeah, let me think.
But I do think for me, it was learning like not putting other people's comfort ahead of my own.
Yeah.
And really like binding myself to that.
Yeah. I think for me, the biggest thing this year was like, sort of similar to some of the stuff we've talked about already, is like, just learning that like, I don't have to sort of explain myself to anyone. I'm a single person and I've been single for a few years now, about 3 years. And every time I come across people, they're always like, why are you single? Why are you single? You're so great. You're so this, you're so that. Like, I have this friend. Let me try and set you up. I have this friend. And it's like, I just learned like I'm good. I'm okay. Like if I would like you to set me up, I will ask you. If I like, if I'm looking for something, I'll try a bit harder.
Yeah.
But like, it's one of those things where I just learned like that there's nothing wrong with me. I'm okay. And and often
you're great.
Thank you. And like I think a lot of times like when you're single, people look at you like it's a problem that needs to be fixed.
I think it's the same thing with sobriety. It's yes. like because they have some, they can't be alone. So they can't fathom how another person can be alone.
Men, I have one man in particular, you know who it is, who's like obsessed with me being single and thinks it's like wrong. He's like, anytime my name comes up in any conversation, I'm like, did he bring up the fact that I'm single? And they're like, yes. He talked about it for like 20 minutes. How we can't believe that you're single. But most of the women I know are like, Molly, you're living the fucking dream. Yeah. Like, you are single. You're happy. You have your own space. You don't have anyone to answer to. You kind of make your own rules and your own schedule, but you stay busy. They're like, you're living the fucking dream.
And you have like, an emotional support network. Like, I'm here for you.
True life. And like, most important, I would say, it's like, but who I'm hearing that from is other women who wish that they had savored that. And so I'm trying to enjoy that.
Yeah.
And so tell all those people who don't like your singleness to fuck off. Yeah. You're living in it, baby.
Exactly. Yeah.
Life does feel better when you like find a partner that you like, but when you're with someone that's not great,
right.
It's awful.
It's horrible. Also, like, it's an interesting thing because another thing I realized in relation to this was like, I think a lot of people when they're looking to date someone, they'll say like, oh, I'm looking for my best friend. And it's like, I already have a lot of really great friends. I have a lot of amazing best friends. I want like a partner. I want a lover. I want someone to go on a date with. I want a boyfriend. I want that romantic aspect of it. Like, I'm not really looking. I have best friends to fill that void. Right. I'm not really looking for that. So it's interesting, like in explaining that to people, how they take that, and process that information.
That's such a language thing too, because people say I'm looking for my best friend, and it's like, no, you should be looking for someone great who will turn into your best friend.
Right.
Because
exactly.
Every
exactly.
boyfriend yes. I've ever had has become my best friend over right. time.
Yes.
But they were not. I don't want to date my friend.
No.
Like, I want to date someone that I want to have sex with. And I don't want to have sex with my friends.
Yeah.
And there's that. And that's what makes them.
Oh, man.
Well, that's what makes them friends. I really do. I think that a lot of people got to know that. That's what makes a friend a friend. And that's that.
Yeah.
Would you like to know what I learned?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The importance of observing, like, acute changes. Very, very, like, to notice small changes because they're important. And they're always symptomatic of a bigger thing. Like, I've always been obsessed with patterns, and I still am. But this year, I really noticed, like, small little things that I took for granted or small things that I look back and I'm like, oh, that little thing, like, right there created a huge problem or, like, whatever, like me not being mindful of this or like, so anytime, like from now, I've just been trying to make sure that I notice when something's different and be conscious of it so that I can figure out what's wrong later. It's like a science experiment. It's I approach my life like science now.
It's your sliding doors moments, like those moments that, like, you know.
America's sliding doors moment. Well, we all have to, I want to know what, we should do like a big contest to figure out what people think America's sliding door moment was. Because I always like to like play that game, and yeah. I would love to know what everyone thinks.
What do you think your, it is? What is your theory?
America's sliding door moment? Yeah. OJ.
Oh, that is interesting. Oh, yeah. Because it did kind of bring in like.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah. You're right. Like, just like famous people, pop culture, like this obsession.
Race relations,
true crime, like all of that. Oh,
the domestic way, like,
the
abuse.
The way the news is covered, like that changed car chases.
I gave myself chills.
Yeah.
But you guys write to me with your America sliding door moment. What do you think?
The Civil War? I don't know.
We're going to get a lot of shit like that. Yeah. And I want to say duh. And also true. But
within our lifetime.
If you guys have.
Let's limit it to like within our lifetime.
Right. Yeah, like okay. Someone's going to say 9/11, yeah. bring the party down right. with the 9/11. Because now we have to take our shoes off at the airport. Yeah. But no, it sucks. I'm so done with TSA. Yeah. Like, can we be done?
Yeah,
like I'm willing to go down. Like
I think
honestly,
studies that like they're actually not effective at what they're doing.
Fuck
like,
no. I can tell you that they are not effective. I've never brought a weapon on a plane, but I can tell you I've brought weed all over this fucking country as well as to Paris, and I would have never brought it to Japan. I'm not like I don't have a death wish.
Paul McCartney got arrested for that.
Bitch, they will kill you for weed in Japan. People pass out drunk on the street, which I was afraid I wasn't gonna get to see before I left Japan. My last night, I'm all proud. I'm like smiling. I'm like serious alcoholics in Japan. But no, I got to see some people pass out on the street, and I was like, this is what I've heard of.
This is what I came for.
I'm gonna revise my initial like statement about biggest lessons of 2018, and I'm gonna, because now I've had more time to reflect since just throwing the question out there and not really thinking about it. I learned how to be more open and how to let more people into the like soft parts of my life that I would keep to myself.
Well, do we all get a second turn, Christina?
No.
And how to stay open, and like doing the work to stay open with people is really hard because it's easy for me to close back up, but having the reward of like staying open and
it's palpable.
Really yeah. coming with from you. The perspective of like, you know, people would, the things that I don't share are things that people do want to know. It's not a burden. It's not, you know, and I and like to take the perspective of like, well, if it was happening to them, I would want to know.
Right.
And so, you know, that just learning that is a lesson I have to learn over and over again. But that was one that I learned this year that was really impactful and actually just like really changed me as a person.
And that's as great. Your friend, it's been wonderful to see.
Thank you.
Look how cute Wags is right now. He looks like a little fucking pastry.
He's like a little cinnamon roll.
I know. He's a croissant. Actually, he's a croissant.
Well, Miles, you want to wrap this up?
No.
Okay.
Okay, you guys. That was episode 179 of Please Advise. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You have to come back.
I would love to.
You can be like Greg the Reg. Like,
yes.
We'll just bring you in whenever. Are you available like a lot?
I'm pretty available.
Are you available like a lot?
Pretty available. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, we'd love that. And you should come on a field trip with us. We should do like a day trip.
I would love that. I'll bring a vase.
Maybe you missed you missed apple picking.
Maybe we'll do some something spiritual, like because of your like brujas.
Yeah, have you been to House of Intuition here in Los Angeles?
Of course, I have. Sober.
No, we did an episode. The card reading.
Me and Max got blackout drunk and went to the tarot card.
Yeah, and then you can hear their card reading.
It's amazing. Like
that, yeah, we had to record that illegally. I think I recorded that on my phone. Down.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, never mind. I totally legally recorded that.
Yeah.
Anyway, you guys, I will talk to you next week. And wait, where can people find you?
Oh,
besides by watching your television show, Charmed.
Yeah, I really just do Instagram. I'm at Beyonce's best friend. So no apostrophes, just one word. So.
How'd you get that?
Yeah, I got it a long time ago, and I just I came up with it randomly. And
God
was
bless
like,
you.
And I can never change it now.
No,
it was between that and Fashion Roadkill. I'm a big Sex and the City person. And I went, and both were available at the time, and I went with Beyonce's best friend.
Wow.
Because I felt like, that had more legs.
That was smart.
My friend
Logan,
who was staying with me, has the Missouri Beyonce plate. You got the, I mean, that's incredible to get Yonsei. Like, no one else has that.
That's really good.
Not in Minnesota, anyway. wait, is that Missouri? Where St. Louis is? St. Louis, Missouri?
Yeah.
Missouri. Yeah, that's where it is. Anyway, you guys, oh God, this is going to really upset the Ohio people. I mean, the Midwest is coming for my wig.
It's just all one place to you, isn't it, Molly?
Yeah, it is. It is. I don't, all people from the Midwest look the same to me. All right, you guys, I'll talk to you next week. Bye.